Remain standing this morning as we read the Word of God together. Now, I'm going to remember to turn this thing on this morning. Hallelujah. And so we got that on. And I'm going to try to deal with something this morning it's been on my heart for some time. And I'll give it a great deal of thought. I don't really know exactly if I've got a full handle on how I want to preach it or not. But I'm going to try to deal with it the best way that I can. What God's given me, it's the only way I know to deal with it. And hope that it'll be a blessing to us. Because I think many of us may find ourselves in this situation. If not now, maybe someday down the road, or maybe in the past, that you found yourself in this situation. And I want to deal with this morning. So I want to turn to two places in the Word of God. If you'll turn, first of all, to 2 Kings and chapter number 20 and verse number 12. 2 Kings chapter number 20 and verse number 12. And then also to 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 24. I'm going to ask you to keep your place as you turn there as we preach this morning, because I'm going to be preaching from the text, taking thoughts out of the text and bringing the thought to you today. I'm going to begin reading, first of all, in 2 Kings and chapter 20 and verse number 21. Now, the first 11 verses of the chapter deals with the sickness of Hezekiah and his prayer to the Lord. Of course, you know, Isaiah came and announced to him to set his house in order because he was going to die. And he turned his face to the wall and wept tears and prayed. And God spared his life, giving him 15 more years to live. And then we pick up in verse number 12, where the Bible said, "At that time, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them, and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and gold and spices, and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto the king Hezekiah, and said unto him, What said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, What have they seen in thy house? Notice he didn't tell Isaiah what they said unto him, only what they had seen. And then he asked him in verse 15, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, All the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And thy sons shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be made eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Notice Hezekiah here. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And notice these words that he said. And he said, It is not good if peace and truth be in my days. Okay, now let's read in chapter number 32 of the book of 2 Chronicles, beginning in verse number 24. In those days Hezekiah was sick to the death, and prayed unto the Lord. And he spake unto them, and he gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. For his heart was lifted up, therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and his inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor. And he made himself treasures for silver and for gold and for precious stones and for spices and for shields and for all manner of pleasant jewels. Storehouses also for the increase of corn and wine and oil, and stalls for all manner of beasts and coats for flocks. Moreover, he provided him cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him substance very much. This same Hezekiah also stopped the upper watercourse of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David, and Hezekiah prospered in all of his works. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the morning hour, for the Sunday school time. Thank you for the singing. Your people, I pray, Lord, that you'll bless now with liberty and power to preach the Word of God. Move the hearts of your people. I pray that you'll help us, that you'll stir our hearts up for thee, that you'll meet every need and the longings of every soul. Bless every family that's here and those by the radio. Lord, how we need your help in these last days that we're living in. Troublesome times, perilous times are upon us. So I pray for your divine presence and power, the forgiveness of sin. May you touch the preaching this morning. Open up hearts to be receptive to it, and may your precious name be glorified, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Again in verse 31, the last verse I read, "Howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart." I'm going to try to do two things this morning. Number one, I'm going to try to obey what the doctor told me and try to stay within some time limit and try to preach the way he told me to preach. So, and I'll see how you take it and how I take it. Amen. And we'll try it out this morning. But I want to preach to you from that verse, really, and use a lot of other verses in the text that I read, and preach to you for a little while on the thought of God's departure and Hezekiah's discovery. God's departure from Hezekiah and what he discovered in his own life because of God's departing from him. Now, by way of introduction, I want to say just a few things. I don't have anything written down for introduction, but I do want to say a few things. When Hezekiah came to the throne in Israel, in Jerusalem, it was in some disarray. Both spiritually and politically and otherwise, militarily and otherwise. They had been overtaken by their enemies. They had been oppressed by their enemies. And they were certainly in desperate straits. Their spiritual condition was in disarray likewise. They had worshipped other gods, and their Ahaz, the king, had led them in a way that was not pleasing unto the Lord. And because of that, God brought upon them nations that was to judge them and chastise them by the hand of the Lord. You know, I want to say to us this morning, any time a nation departs from the Lord and from righteousness, they're asking for trouble. God will turn nations that leave him into hell. All nations that depart from God, the Bible said that they shall be turned into hell. And when a nation leaves God, they're in serious trouble. The judgment of God is bound to fall upon them. And then secondly, when they fail to keep a strong army, when their military fails, they're going to be invaded by someone, and if they're going to be overpowered unless they're equal or above equal to the country that invades them. That is true down through the ages. Now, I'm not going to preach on politics this morning, but I got to tell you this: America is desperately in need of revival. There's not a doubt about it. We need the move of God and the hand of God, not only in our churches but in our country today. We need some leaders that will raise themselves up and stand up for righteousness and truth in America once again. Then I heard that our president, and I don't know anything about budgets and all that they have. I couldn't handle that kind of money if I had to. But I heard that he wants to cut our military spending. Now, I'm just telling you, when we begin to cut back on our military, we're asking for trouble. You just mark it down. There's going to be somebody out there that is going to try you on if you cut back in your military power. It's just like you and I was in school. If we were smaller than somebody else, a bigger guy most of the time, that bully, if there was a bully, he was going to get on somebody and take care of somebody. But every now and then he'd run into somebody bigger than he was and get taken care of. Well, I'm just telling you, when a country loses their military power, they're going to be in serious trouble. And that's the way Israel was, or Judah was, when Hezekiah came to power. But in his first years of power, he did great things for the Lord. He began to bring in religious reforms back into the nation. He began once again to open the house of God. He opened the doors of the house of God and to repair the house of God. They once again began to worship, and he brought great religious forms to Israel in those days. Not only religious reforms, but he brought revival to the city, to the country. Great revival in his day. But in the latter days of his life, he made one great mistake. Militarily, he restored them militarily. Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came up on Israel to defeat them, and God destroyed, 170,000 of them in one night, and he defeated them and sent them back to Assyria. But he made a mistake later in his life. He allowed the princes of Babylon to come into the city, and he showed them everything that he had. All of his treasures, all of his wealth, all of his treasures, all of his military might and power, all of that which he possessed, he showed them. In fact, out of his own mouth, he said, "There was not one thing that I have that I did not show them." I want to say to you, that is not a wise thing. That would be just like you and I opening up ourselves voluntarily and letting the devil look at everything that we have in the storehouse of our heart, exploring everything that we have, our power, our grace, our love, our mercy. I want to tell you something. I don't want the devil to know one thing about me. Amen. That is right. I don't want the devil to know one thing about my life. And if I possibly can, I'm going to keep in my heart what is in there and pray that God keep a shield about it and a hedge about it, that the devil cannot even stick his ugly head into my heart for one second and find out what I have in there. You know why? If he finds a weakness there, you mark her down, he is going to attack that weakness. And ladies and gentlemen, we all have weaknesses in our life. And you better defend yourself against that weakness, for if the devil finds it out, he's going to invade your life and do the very best that he can to drag your life down, to discourage you and defeat you in your service toward the Lord. Now, Hezekiah let all these men in and let them look at everything that he had. And the Bible said that God wasn't too pleased about that. Because of that great mistake, the Bible said that God left him. That is devastating. When God leaves an individual, but he did it for a purpose. That Hezekiah, not the devil, but that Hezekiah may know what was in his own heart. Now, somebody said, "I already know it." No, you don't. The Bible said, I, the Lord, try the heart. I search the reins, the Lord said. He knows what is in the heart of man. But I'm telling you, you do not know the depths of your depravity. I'm telling you, the depths of man's depravity amazes me. A lot of people don't believe that a sinner is totally depraved. I want to tell you something. You are dead in sin. You are totally depraved and in bondage to sin. And by the way, that includes your will. And until God opens up, come on now, till God opens up your heart and speaks to your heart and gives you an opportunity by your will to believe in Him, you're not going to be saved. Come on in the house. But it's a terrible thing when God departs from a man to leave him unto himself that he might know what is in his own heart. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt alone?
Yes, sir.
David felt alone in Psalm 22 when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? May I say to you, that is the same word that our Lord said when he died on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt forsaken of the Lord? Have you ever prayed and it felt like heaven was brass and that your prayers were getting no higher than your head? Amen. Have you ever come to the house of God and felt like there was no God there? Nothing moving in your heart, nothing moving in your soul? I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, it might be because God has left us that we might see what is in our own heart.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, I don't believe God would do that. I'm not going to this morning. I may tonight, but I could take you to several places in the Bible where it said God departed from man. I will use this one. There was a man by the name of Job that looked for God in front of him, behind him, in both sides, and could not find him. God had departed from him. And you know why? I don't have time to take you to the scripture, but Job himself said that God has taken me, and more or less He's hung me up like a floor mat and shook me out and then set me up for an example. And that's exactly what God departed from Job and then set him up for an example as he tried his faith. Come on now. God never leaves a man or a woman that is not doing it to try their faith, to see what they're made out of. He left Hezekiah that he might try his faith, and Hezekiah may know what he's made out of. God never leaves you and I that he might know what is in us. He already knows what's in us. But he does depart from you and I to turn our heart and our mind inward to take a good look at ourselves that we might find out what is in there. May I say, it's not a pleasant thing to look into the mirror of the Word of God. Oh, it can turn up some things that are very sour, bitter, displeasing to both you and the Lord. I want to ask you this morning, do you know of one thing in your life that displeases you? Is there anything, just one little thing in your life today that displeases you? May I say, if it displeases you, it displeases the Lord.
Amen.
And if it displeases you and the Lord, it may be such a thing that God has just withdrawn Himself a little ways to let you look into your own heart to see what is there. And hey, if we find it there, I'm going to tell you there's only one remedy for it, and that's an old-fashioned altar. Now, I'm telling you, there's not a one of us in here today that does not need to find ourselves on an old-fashioned altar confessing to God what we have seen in our heart that is not right with Him and not right with ourselves, that He might cleanse us of that and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I'm not ashamed to tell you this, but when Brother Whitlow preached the other night, and I forget, it might have been Sunday night, you saw Brother Hall back there on that chair in prayer. Now, I'm going to tell you why I was back there. He preached on seeking the Lord. And I looked into my own heart and realized that I've not really been seeking God like I once did. Come on now. Somebody said, well, I have. Well, you're a lying, get you gone, send your mammy, don't want you. You know better. You know better. I'm just telling you. There's very few people today that I know that are hot on the heels of God. There's not many that are longing for God like a hart pants after the water brooks. There's not many of us today that really desire to have God working in our life. You know why? We're scared to death. He will expose what is there, and if He exposes what's there, we're going to have to get it right with Him. That's just the bottom line. And I'm telling you, we're not going to get far with God until He turns. Hey, it's a good thing to seek God. But I'm going to tell you, it's also a good thing to find out what is in here. Do you realize that Hezekiah got heady and high-minded? The Bible said that he got filled up with pride. God gave him all this and all that, made him a great man, and the Bible said that he got filled up with pride. Now I wonder today, if there's people today that are filled up with pride because God, hey, it seems that God has blessed us in such an unusual way, and pride has so lifted us up that we cannot be used of the Lord. I'm going to say this without any reservation. If we do not have a low and a humble spirit, God will not use us. A high and a haughty spirit and a proud heart. In fact, the Bible said that God hates a proud heart. God hates pride. It was pride that caused the devil to say, hey, I'm going to ascend up to the Most High. I'm going to be like the Most High. I'm going to sit on the throne. I'm going to be like Him. And that pride cost Him His exalted position, folks. Now I'm telling you, if God dealt with His pride, He'll deal with our pride as well. Amen. Come on in the house, boys and girls. Now I just got a few things. I said I was going to preach like the doctor told me, but if I don't stop, I won't. So I got to look at what Hezekiah saw here. Wonder what he saw in his heart when God departed from him, that he might know what was in his own heart. I've got about three or four things I'll mention. I want to say, first of all, that he saw the fact that he was unthankful. Amen. For the benefit that God had given him. The Bible said in 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 25, but Hezekiah rendered not according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and upon Jerusalem. In other words, what God had blessed him with and the benefit that God had gave him, he rendered it not back to God. You know why? He was unthankful. He didn't stop to thank God. Hey, now somebody said, well, that surely wouldn't be in Hezekiah's heart. Well, I'm telling you, the Bible said it was in Hezekiah's heart. God, hey, he was unthankful for the benefit that God had rendered unto him. I wonder how many in here today. The Bible said, by the way, in all things we ought to give thanks to God. I wonder how many of us in here today are way behind on thanking God for the benefits that He's rendered unto us. The Bible said that He daily loads us down with benefits. So if He gives us benefits every day, then we certainly ought to thank Him every day for the benefits that He's given you and I. And brother, I'm telling you, He's given us some. Every one of us in here. If we stop to count them, God has loaded us down. Amen. With benefits every day. Now I wonder how thankful that we've been for those. Somebody said, well, what did he thank him for? Well, I really believe that he thanked him for that God blessed him, I mean, with prosperity. It says in chapter 32 there in 2 Chronicles. And beginning in verse number 27, it talks about his riches. It said Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor. And he made himself treasures of silver and for gold, precious stones, spices and shields. And for many pleasant things, storehouses and possessions. All these things, God prospered him. He was a man of great prosperity. Now somebody said, now preacher, we're not people of great prosperity. If you look back at where you were, now maybe not everybody in here. Some of you may have been born with a silver spoon in your mouth. But you're looking at one old boy that was born didn't have a spoon to put in his mouth. If he'd had a spoon, he wouldn't have anything to put in the spoon. Amen. Come on now. Amen. I'm just telling you, I look back on my life. Hey, I was raised a poor boy. I'm talking about poor. We were the poor of the poor. We wore patches on top of patches on top of patches on top of patches when we went to school. I was the kind of the boy that had holes in his heels of his socks and tried to pull them down and pin them down under his heel so nobody else would know they was there, but they always managed to slip up some way. Had heels out and toes out, but I'm telling you, we didn't have money to buy anything else, so we wore them. Now I'm telling you, hey, I'm boasting on what God has done for me. I'm far from rich. I'm not a rich man, but I'm telling you, God has prospered me. Even if it just prospered me a little bit, I ought to be thankful for that. But here was a man that had possessions. Here was a man that had great treasures. He had a great military might behind him. And God had raised him up to that. And yet, he was unthankful in his heart for the benefit that God had rendered unto him. Oh, that's an amazing thing. Unthankful for the prosperity that God had bestowed upon him. Now, if I'm going to keep right up with y'all, I'm going to have to hurry on. Then I think he was unthankful for the prayer that God had answered for him. Unthankful for it. In chapter number 32 and verse number 24, I believe it is. Chapter 32 and verse number 24. Oh, Hezekiah prayed. And if it says, and I'm not going to take time to go back there, but it says back in 2 Kings that he prayed and turned his face toward the wall. And he prayed. And God heard his prayer and sent Isaiah back to tell him that I've answered your prayer. And he was praying and asking God to extend his life. God give him 15 more years. The prophet of God had already said, the Lord has said, set your house in order, Hezekiah, because you're surely going to die. And he turned his face to the wall and said, Lord, please remember me for good and for what I've done. And the Lord heard his prayer and told Hezekiah, said, go back and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, that I am going to add 15 years into his life. You know, that'd be something to be thankful for, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. A man on his deathbed, and God raise him up, hey, and give him 15 more years. I'm not talking about having a cold. He didn't have a cold, or he didn't have a sore throat, or strep throat, or an ear infection. This man was dying. Amen. He was going to die. And God said, your prayer's been answered. I'm going to give you a length of days, 15 more years I'm going to add to your life. Boy, now what man wouldn't order thought to thank God for that? Praise God, he ought to got up and jumped up and down and been thankful. But the Bible said that he rendered not the benefit that God had bestowed upon him. He wasn't thankful for those extra days. Oh, no. But God gave him that length of days and answered his prayer. Yes, sir. And then God loosed him from the power of Sennacherib. He prayed not only, God said, I'm not only going to have 15 days of your life, but he said, I'm going to deliver Sennacherib, the king, said, I'm going to deliver you from him. He's not going to take this city in your days. He's not going to take it. And so what he was saying is, God said, I'm going to deliver you from your oppressors. Boy, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing today? And God has delivered you and I from our oppressors. I've named one of us in here, if you're saved, that the world does not oppress you. Right. There's not a one of us in here that is saved, ladies and gentlemen, that sin does not oppress us. Right. There's not a one of us in here that our own flesh does not oppress us. There are oppressors in this world that are out there to do nothing but put pressure on you and I and try to defeat us in our Christian life. Oh, yes. But God said to Hezekiah, I delivered you from that. Oh, I could run my head through a wall right now. Knowing that God has delivered me from the devil. God has delivered me from sin, hell, and the grave. And friend, I'm telling you, we ought to be thankful for that benefit that God has loaded us down with today. Anybody in here thankful you're not going to hell? I am, Brother Gray. Hallelujah. What a benefit. Saved. We might put it that way. Delivered. Saved. By grace. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His love. Oh, what wonderful love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, what a benefit. Why shouldn't we be unthankful? We've been to Calvary. We've been bathed in the blood of the Lamb. We've been clothed in the righteousness of God. We've been set free from the captive.
Amen. We're no longer a captive of sin and hell and death and the grave, but we're delivered from that.
Oh, and we've got liberty and freedom. And he that the Son shall make free, he's free indeed.
Woo!
Thank God I'm free this morning. He was delivered from those oppressors. And yet he did not render unto God that benefit. He was unthankful. He was unthankful. I'll say thirdly, he was unthankful to the prophet of God. So you say, preacher, how was he that? I'm going to tell you how. You listen carefully. Isaiah went back and told him. Said, Hezekiah, said, the Lord has said that he's going to give you 15 more years of life.
Amen.
And here's what Hezekiah didn't say. Thank God for it. Oh, I'm glad God spoken to the man of God and told him he's going to give me 15 more years. You know what? They said, show me a sign. I got to see a sign. What's the sign going to be? He said, you want the sundial to go forward or backward? He said, easy thing for it to go forward. Maybe go backward 10 degrees. And the Lord made her go backward 10 degrees. But the thing of it is, he did not believe the words that flowed from the mouth of his prophet from Isaiah. And you'd be amazed at the people today that whatever the preacher says, it runs off their back like pouring water on a duck, friend. Hey, a lot of folks, they don't believe nothing the preacher says. Well, he's just up there rattling his mouth. He's just there to take up our time and make us feel good. Oh, I don't want to make you feel good.
Right.
No, sir. If I can do what the Lord did to Hezekiah, if I can cause your heart today to turn itself inward and let you take a good look at your own heart and life and find out what's in there, you may find some things in there displeasing to you.
Amen.
Amen. You ain't got pin feathers yet, friend. I don't know anybody sprouting wings in this crowd.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. Have you looked in your heart lately?
Amen.
What have you found in there? Have you found some things that the preacher's told you about, but just because the preacher said it? Oh, it's just a preacher.
Right.
What's he know? Well, I tell you what, he don't know a whole lot, but I'm telling you, I know what God's told me to preach. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. If God told me to tell this church to look into our own heart and see what is there. Hey, where's you? There's not a one of us in here can deny the fact that it appears that God has got up and gone. I thought about this Easter season, just putting out on the sign out front, He is not here. Forget about He is risen. He is not here. And you know there's not much God hanging around here.
Amen.
Oh, somebody said, Brother Hall, you know better than that. I wish to God I did know better than that.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, God's letting me look into my heart and see the fact there that God ain't hanging around like He used to be.
Amen.
Amen. We went downhill. And I'm going to tell you, we went downhill because of we don't have the presence of the Lord. And I've preached it till I'm blue in my face. That without the power and the presence of Christ in His house. And if He's going to have power in His house, there has got to be His presence and His power working in our heart to bring Him to the house.
Amen.
Better believe that's right. Buddy, and I'm telling you, if He ain't working in our heart, we're not going to have Him in the house.
Amen.
I tell you, I sat over in that green chair and meditated. I was sitting out there yesterday in that tent, and I got to meditating. I thought, Lord, You gave us Your life. You gave us life, and that life was Yours. We owe nothing less to Him than our life.
Amen.
We owe Him our life.
Amen.
You know what I thought about? I thought about them boys in combat, them enemy soldiers throw a grenade in. You've read about it. Into a foxhole, and one of those boys maybe put a steel pot or fall down and cover up that grenade and let it take his own life that his foxhole buddy might live. You know what that buddy would tell you if he was here today? He'd say, oh, so-and-so, save my life.
Therefore, I owe my life to Him. May I say to you, when Christ died on Calvary, whoo, and rose again from the grave. Hallelujah. That's right. He gave His life for me. Amen. And I owe Him nothing less than my life. All of it, not part of it. I owe Him all of my heart, not part of it. I owe Him all of my body, not part of it. I owe Him all of everything that I have. But I'm telling you, naked I come into the world, naked I'm going out. I ain't taking a thing with me. The hole that leaves this world ain't big enough for nothing but you.
Amen.
You ain't taking a thing with you.
That's right.
That's right, friend. Not one thing. And by the way, you a hole that you, when you come into this world, you had absolutely nothing. You didn't even have the clothes on your back. The first clothes they wrapped you in the hospital didn't even belong to you.
Amen.
Everything that you have, God's given you everything.
Amen.
And we'll take another. Hey, He gave His life for us. And I'm telling you, and we ought to be thankful for that life that God has given us. But He rendered not the benefit that God had given Him. I got to hurry. I want to say number two, that He was unaware of the intentions of the enemy. Unaware of the intentions of the enemy. They came in deception. They came pretending. They came pretending simply to admire Hezekiah's wealth and to admire his esteem him, probably to a degree that they almost worshipped him. They even brought him presents. They said, "Look what we've got for you. Oh, we've got now." And he said, "Come on in, boys. I want to show you what all I've got around here. I want to show you my wealth and my treasures. I want to show you everything I've got in my arsenal to defend with." Oh, he was a great man. He said, "I've got everything here." They said, "Well, let's look at this and let's look at this and let's look at this." But I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't long until Isaiah came to him and said, "What'd they see? What'd you say to them? What'd they say to you?" He said, "Everything that I have. They know what it is." And I'm going to tell you, they run just as straight back to Babylon as they could run and said, "He's got this, and he's got this, and he's got this, and he's got this, and he's got this." And the king said, "I believe we're able to take him."
Amen.
Yes, sir. And by the way, they did take him.
Amen.
Jerusalem was finally overran and taken and carried into Babylon. Hey, and by the way, Isaiah told Hezekiah, said, "Even those children, those men that proceed out of you that you beget, they're going to be eunuchs in the king's house in Babylon." Now, I didn't say this. I heard somebody else say it. There's a whole lot of people that believe Daniel was a son of Hezekiah. Didn't he work in the king's house? Sure he did. They saw everything that was in there. Everything. And I'm going to tell you, he was unaware of what was going on. Now I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I think a whole lot of times we're unaware of exactly what's going on in our life and what the devil is trying to do. People can get their lives so fouled up and then so mixed up in situations and in life that it's absolutely mind-boggling. I've never seen so many families in my life. Now, I don't want to use a bad word, but they're fouled up!
Yeah. Right.
Their home is in turmoil!
Right.
Their life is in disarray! Their children have gone away because they have was not aware of the intentions of their enemies. I'm telling you, there's enemies out there that will not only drag you but your family down into the pit of hell and look at you and laugh in your face after it's done. They're there.
Right.
Now I'm telling you, some of you in here better learn to guard your children.
Right.
Buddy there, hey, there's a crowd out there that'll get them.
Amen.
Now, hey, I've seen them sit in the very house of God.
Amen.
And turn right around and drag people out into sin. Are you listening to what? Hey, being unaware of the intentions that the people had.
Amen.
You better be careful when all men speak well of you.
Yeah.
These people went in, "Oh, King Hezekiah, here's a present from our king." And by the way, what do you got here we can look at?
Well, just come on in. I'll just open it up and let you see everything that I have. I'll just lay her out on display. Here it is. And went back and told the king of Babylon, and he started counting what he had and the number of soldiers he had and all the chariots he had and all the wealth that he had and everything. He said, you know what? I believe we can take them. And take them he did. Are you listening to me? May God help us today, folks, to be aware of the intentions of our enemies. Because there are enemies out there.
Amen.
Yes, sir. And a lot of them are walking on two legs. We've got the idea that the only enemy we got is an invisible enemy. I'm telling you, it's not an invisible enemy that's destroying us. It's an enemy that walks on two legs.
Amen.
And they're destroying us. They're robbing us of our power and our blessings. And we need to be aware of the intentions of people. Amen. What they're planning on doing in our life and to us in our life.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. I'm telling you, they creep in unawares.
Amen.
You know what Brother Williamson says? They creep in, or creep in, they're creeps.
Right. Right.
I've seen some creeps in my day, buddy.
Amen. They'll
try to creep in among you. Now listen carefully. They saw all that was in his house. They saw his strength. They saw his weakness. They saw his wealth. They saw everything that he had. Hey, don't give place to the devil. Paul said in the book of Corinthians, chapter number 2 and verse 11, he said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. But I'm afraid many people today are ignorant of Satan's devices.
Amen.
Oh, we think, well, he's just a boogeyman out there with sharp ears and a pointed tail, pitchfork. That's how he's portrayed, you know. But I'm going to tell you, he's not that. Friends, the devil is very beautiful. Are you listening to what? The Bible says he was the anointed cherub.
Amen.
He was a beautiful creature. Wasn't ugly at all. He was so beautiful that Eve was mesmerized by his beauty and his how sleek he was, like a snake. And she fell.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, he hadn't changed a bit. If you think the devil every time comes charging down the aisle like a roaring lion, he don't do it.
Amen.
If you think he's always some ugly creature, he's not.
Right.
Most of the time, he is some slick-talking, smooth-tongued fella that you'd never dream would ever harm you in any way.
Amen.
But you better be careful. Better be careful. We ought to be. And I want to say thirdly, that Hezekiah was unconcerned about the following generation. Somebody said, preacher, what on earth are you talking about? Well, you remember I told you a while ago when the judgment was pronounced on him by Isaiah, and he said in 2 Kings, chapter number 20 and verse number 19, the last part of that, he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? Hezekiah said, God's going to give you 15 more days, and he's going to destroy, deliver the king of Assyria into your hands as well. And old wise Hezekiah said, hallelujah, I've got her made. Isn't that our thinking today? We're saved, we've got her made. But I'm going to tell you something. How concerned are we about those that's going to follow us? How concerned are we about our children? The Lord said in Deuteronomy chapter number 7 or 6, I believe it was, in chapter and verse number 5, he said that we ought to teach our children diligently.
Amen.
The Word of God.
Amen.
Give it to them in their heart. Teach them diligently. I wonder how many today, hey, Hezekiah said, it's just good if I make it. Will it not be good if there's peace and truth in my days? Hey, I don't give a rag flip about what's behind me. I'm going to tell you that's exactly where we're at in America today. We don't care less about the generation coming up after us. I'm telling you, friend, that's the way we've been for years and years. The generation prospering, God bless them, but they, America has not prepared for those that are coming up behind us. And many of God's people have not prepared for the family that's coming up behind them. And I'm telling you, we better learn to prepare. for our children.
Amen.
We better learn to prepare for our community. God help us. I've lived here over 23 years. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know. I've not done much for it. I don't know what I can do for it. I'm going to tell you, regardless of who's sitting up there behind that desk up in town, we ought to do all we can for our community.
Amen.
That's right. We live here.
Amen.
We ought to want it to be a safe place for our children to grow up.
Amen.
I don't want my children and grandchildren to grow up out here and walk out on the street to some junkie selling drugs.
Right.
I have to say this. They've not troubled me a bit from over there. Not one bit. It's the grace of God. They protected us.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you what. I've got to the point where I don't trust anybody. I'm just being honest with you. Now, I'm not saying anything to get this person. I don't even know who it is. Know what it looks like. Don't care what it looks like. Might even be a woman. But they got a little ice cream truck that drives over there and it plays spiritual songs, hymns. Little kids come out there and buy ice cream stuff. Then that's probably, and I hope that's all there is to it, and probably that's all there is to it. But you know, in the big cities, there's people doing that, and they're using that as a cover to peddle dope to children out on the street. Oh, somebody said, Brother Hall, that ain't going on. I'm telling you, it is going on. Now, and you hear what I'm telling you, drugs is going to overcome the power of alcohol in America.
Amen.
Men like old Billy Sunday used to get up and rip around and preach against booze. That it was taking people to hell, but how many preachers today are preaching against dope and drugs that are dragging our families? Hey, I'm talking about adults and children alike up into hell, and we're not even aware of it. And I wonder if you're thankful that yours is sitting on a church pew today. If you're not, you ought to be. There's not much crying out from men of God about dope.
Amen.
A lot of them are afraid of the dope peddlers. Well, I'm not a brave man. But I'm going to tell you one thing. It wouldn't be healthy for somebody if I seen them peddling dope to one of these kids in this church. You better believe that's right. We get the law on their tail right quick.
Amen.
Fast.
Amen.
And if the law didn't get here fast enough, well, I may have to swear myself in a little while.
Amen.
That's right. I'm just telling you. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? We're on computers, and your kids is on computers, and every play game they can possibly, you can buy for them. And I'm telling you, there are pedophiles on there just waiting.
Amen.
To make them late for one of our kids.
That's right.
I can't stomach them. Egg suckers.
Great.
I can't handle them.
Amen.
Oh, I can't handle them. Yes, sir. Know how to handle them. No, I'm telling you, I can't stand anybody that hurt a little child.
Right. Amen.
Something about that sours on my stomach. Somebody that takes advantage of somebody. That sours on my stomach.
Amen.
Oh, Hezekiah said, well, that's a good thing if peace and truth be in my days. Well, Hezekiah, what are you going to do about the days? Those following us. And what about our countrymen? The psalmist said in Psalm 71:18, said, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength to this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come.
Amen.
What a statement. I want to show your strength to this generation. Let me preach the power and the strength of God, not only to this generation, but everybody that's to come. Praise God. He said, I want to leave something behind me that everybody that is to come will know about the strength and the power of God.
Amen.
Ain't much preaching about the power of God anymore. Well, God, I'm telling you, God's got the power to fill your unworthy soul and called you to turn a double black fib, jump your feet up in the air, run your head through the ceiling, hallelujah. Run down one of the trusses up there and never fall through like Brother Herbert did.
Amen.
Yes, sir. God's got the power, friend.
Amen.
He calls about His right hand of strength. His hand of strength. And He said His right hand, His right arm of power.
Amen.
I've never felt one of Brother Chuck's right-handed jabs or one of these. I won't call what that is. Don't want to. But I'm going to tell you something else. You don't want to feel that from God either.
That's right. Amen.
Somebody said, "Now, Brother Hall, God wouldn't do that." I'm gonna tell you what David said. David said, "Knock out their teeth, Lord.
Amen.
Knock out the teeth of the great lion. Oh, let him have it."
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God can and God will.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Has God maybe departed from you and I to let us see what's in our heart, that we're unthankful, that we're unaware, and that we're unconcerned about what's going on around us? Has God let you look into your heart and see something there that's displeasing to you? Church, I want to say, it's not anything to be ashamed of. Because God did it to Hezekiah that He might bless him.
Amen.
Not to hurt him, but to bless him. You'll never amount to anything for God till you really know what you are. And there are so many people, when they get saved, they've got the idea, "I'm now a perfect creature." Far from it. There's a perfect creation on the inside, true. But I'm telling you, they're far, far, far from being perfect.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something else. When you first get saved, there's still some things in there you're going to have to deal with.
Amen.
And I heard a preacher say this once, that the sin that was prevalent in your life when God saved you, that somewhere down the road in your life, God will make you deal with that very sin.
Amen.
What about it? That sin that was prevalent in your life, are you trying to deal with it now? It may be because God's just left you a little ways to let you take a peek, see what's there. Let's all stand.